This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. And on today's show, you're going to meet Stefan Spencer. He's the founder and president of an SEO firm out of Wisconsin called Net Concepts. And the funniest thing happened. I was online reading stuff, and I discovered a blog post that was fascinating to me. It was 10 tips to help your blog soar in search engines. And I read it, I loved it, and I saw that it was Stefan, and somehow I connected the dots that Stefan was in town for the SES show. Speaking at SES, I emailed him and called him, said, hey, come on over to the studio. Let's have you on the show. He said yes, and he's here today in studio in Los Altos, California, to tell you all about SEO PR, blogging, and all kinds of things. So on today's show, we're going to talk about internal politics, FooCamp, utility clouds, social marketing power user hacks, and blog soaring.
I think SEOs are some of the best social media marketers out there. I mean, as long as you're not trying to game the system, you're just trying to be altruistic and authentic in your interactions in the social media space, I think SEOs are doing an incredible job out there. I am a huge fan of social media PR, but only when it's done right. And there's so many occasions where it's done wrong. Maybe there are 100 bloggers in your field of interest. Mm-hmm. Don't try to go after all 100. Instead, pick the most influential and then build relationships with them. That'll be a lot more successful. It's useful to have one or two what are called lions,
yeah,
LinkedIn open networkers on your network. And the reason why is because one of these lions could bring in, they could have 5,000, 10,000 contacts on their network. What you find as a website owner, when you get stumbled and you get good ratings and everything, you're going to get much more sustainable traffic than if you were to, let's say, reach the front page of dig.com.
Let's welcome Stefan onto the show. Hey, Stefan.
Hey.
It's great to have you here in our cozy little studio.
Yes, it is cozy.
Thanks so much for coming over. How's SES going?
It's going great.
Yeah? What was your presentation? I don't even remember.
It was on the long tail, so focusing on the less popular keywords, but when in aggregate, they actually drive quite a lot of traffic, particularly for a big e-commerce site.
Well, that's what it seems like Net Concepts is. It's really a blend of e-commerce companies for whom you do a lot of SEO.
Yep.
That's your area of expertise. That's your sweet spot.
Yeah, it's mainly retailers.
Retailers. That's great. And you started that company back in 1995.
Yes, back in the very early days of the web.
Yeah, that's great. What did you do before you were a web genius?
Well, I was actually studying biochemistry. I was in a PhD program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I decided the internet was really heating up. I went to a conference, and I met some of the folks from Netscape. I'd never heard of Netscape. This was 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally fell in love with it. I decided to quit school, and I actually stayed an extra couple months, got a master's degree, but so I got a master's in biochemistry. Use that every day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a fun ride. I started as a web design firm, and over the course of the years, we became more and more specialized in search engine optimization, and we've been doing SEO for at least 8 years.
Well, it's funny too, because we're going to talk today not just about SEO, but about social media marketing. And I saw a snarky Twitter yesterday where someone was saying, how come all these SEO people think they know anything about social media marketing? What do you have to say about that? True? False?
Oh, I think SEOs are some of the best social media marketers out there. I mean, as long as you're not trying to game the system, you're just trying to be altruistic and authentic in your interactions in the social media space, I think SEOs are doing an incredible job out there.
Where do you think they're doing a good job? What, in a particular area? Like, are they really juicing out Facebook, or what's happening with SEO?
Well, you could break it down into some of the major areas, like social news sites, like Dig, social bookmarking, Delicious. They do excellent in both. There's also the social networking environments like Facebook and MySpace, which I don't see as much interaction with the SEOs there, because they can't actually get a whole lot of juice out of that. In terms of, when I say juice, I mean link juice, because that's what really powers your rankings, is if you get really great inbound links into your site, and if they are really organically grown, so to speak, in that you didn't try to buy them or engineer them in some fashion. You just had something really fantastic, and this is where link bait comes in. It's just some bit of content, whether it's a video, a viral video, or a blog post, a top 10 list, a funny photo, anything that's just so irresistible for bloggers to link to, and people in the social graph to make popular. That's where the SEO community, that's where SEOs really excel.
That makes sense to me. And one of the things we're going to talk about is this social media power user hacks. And I want to talk about StumbleUpon. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand how it works, and I'm hoping you'll explain that to me. But before we go there, you have done a lot of posting about SEO PR and about social media public relations. Mm-hmm. At a very high level, explain the difference to our listeners, and then tell us what you think are the things we should be focused on with both of them. If we can only do a couple of things or master a couple of things, what are the things that really make a difference for us?
Okay, so I am a huge fan of social media PR, but only when it's done right. Mm-hmm. And there's so many occasions where it's done wrong. I as a blogger, get a ton of pitches from PR firms, and they're just clueless. They clearly have not even read my blog, or even visited it once. Mm-hmm. It sounds so generic, the pitch that they send, mm-hmm. and it's just basically a regurgitated press release. And mm-hmm. and bloggers just shut down when they get that.
Okay.
And so you want to basically build rapport over time and make it clear that you actually are a follower of their blog, maybe a follower on Twitter as well. So you start engaging with them slowly. You have some insightful comments on their blog. You connect with them on Twitter and maybe have some interactions there. And then over time, you can pitch them on something without having to do the hard sell. And just, you know, hey, heads up here that we've got something that I'd be interested in having you present to your listeners or your readers, whether it's a podcast or a blog. Mm-hmm. And that can be a lot more successful than just the hard pitch, the generic hard pitch.
So the reality is, we can't read all the blogs of all the bloggers that might have an audience that would care about an announcement that we have. Customizing a crafted email pitch to you as a blogger is a good thing. We can read your blog. We can find the hooks in there that make it a connection to the news that we have. Say that's all we have to work with. You know, a lot of people don't have time to get deeply connected to every blogger who's out there, yet it might well be something that mm-hmm. could catch your fancy. So then what do we do?
Well, I think the Pareto principle applies here, the 80-20 rule.
Okay.
So you need to really focus on the wheat and forget about the chaff. Mm-hmm. So maybe there are 100 bloggers in your field of interest. Mm-hmm. Don't try to go after all 100. Instead, pick the most influential.
Mm-hmm.
And then build relationships with them. That'll be a lot more successful. Like, there was a launch of a solar powered backpack. Really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could.
What's it powering?
Well, you can recharge your cell phone, your iPod, whatever,
okay.
right? While you're out in the woods somewhere.
Well, your
in the
iPhone, of course. You have to recharge that thing 3 times during the day if you're at a conference or something.
Yes, I have the 3G and I know that full well. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really cool piece of technology.
Geek gadget.
Right. And the way that they got the word out, and it went very successfully, is I believe it was Tree Hugger that they first put the word out to, and they have a good relationship with the blogger at Tree Hugger. That got picked up by Gizmodo. It got picked up by Cool Hunting blog, mm-hmm. which then got picked up by Gizmodo.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of like an echo chamber, right?
Where it radiated out because they'd hit a big high-level blogging post.
Right. And these bloggers up the food chain read each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of went out into the blogosphere. So if you really focus on the connectors, if you've read The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell, mm-hmm. you know, the connectors are really powerful, and you just have to pick and choose who the right connectors are to reach out to.
Well, this is for another show, but one of the things I still really struggle with is understanding the traffic on a given blog and which blogs I should be prioritizing. I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out that, you know, if your product's going to fit on TechCrunch, that's great. But if it's not, where do you go if you have something slightly more esoteric? I still think that's a black art. So maybe you could do a post on that if you have some answers.
Sure. And I think just real quick, if you went to Alexa.com and Compete.com and Quantcast.com, you can see some of the more popular blogs, what their traffic is. And it, between the three, you can kind of get a good sense,
mm-hmm.
not terribly accurate, but a decent sense on what's popular as far as which blogs.
Yeah. If again, they're in something that's not in a steep vertical, you know, there is a lot of long tail PR being pitched out there. So let's go on to the SEO PR piece of it. Are you a proponent for putting a lot of keyword density in your press releases? When you say SEO PR, what is it that we're supposed to be doing that makes it a search engine optimized press release?
Right. So if you're using PR Newswire or PR Web or something to syndicate out your press mm-hmm. release, just think about what keywords are your potential audience going to be typing into mm-hmm. Yahoo News or Google News or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And if you have those keywords in the title of your post or your press release, mm-hmm. you have the keywords in the body copy, preferably high up in the body copy,
mm-hmm.
right?
So if it's first paragraph.
Yep, that sort of thing. And then you can pay extra with these different services to mm-hmm. get links embedded into the press release.
So is it worth it?
Yeah,
you want the link to your site or anybody that's mentioned in your release in there.
Yeah, just bear in mind that embedded link isn't necessarily going to end up on, let's say, Yahoo News.
Mm-hmm.
It will end up on PR Web if you're using PR Web.
Yeah,
but a lot of these sites that repost press releases, they don't carry over.
Right, they scrape the links.
They remove the links.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So is it really worth an upgrade for that? I don't know.
I think so, because okay. PR Web and or PR Newswire, whatever service you're using,
it's one more inbound link.
Yeah.
Got it. So you're buying for $80, which is the lowest price of PR Web, you're at least buying yourself some inbound links.
Yeah, and you're not gonna just rock the house up off by, or does that even make sense?
Rock the house.
Yeah.
Rocking the house makes sense. I like doing that.
Okay, so it doesn't. It's not going to
change the world.
Change the world, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But
rock your world. That's what you were trying to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's not going to rock your world. That's where link bait comes in. If it's like the most amazing piece of content that people just can't help but link to it, right? So there's an example where some guy just went through a bunch of Flickr posts. And he just did a search for urinals or urinal, and then collected the funniest, most bizarre pictures of urinals and formulated a blog post out of that and named it like funniest, craziest urinals in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that got like 4,000 some digs, mm-hmm. made it to the front page of Dig and got a ton of links.
Interesting. So what about social media PR? Is that where you're talking about pitching bloggers, or is there something else to social media PR in your mind?
Well, there's actually I wish I could remember the URL of it, but there's a template for a social media press release.
Right. And I'll put that on the blog post and our related links, so we'll catch that after the show, and it'll be on your episode page. And
right.
I know which one you mean, and I forget the company that did it.
Yeah.
And
I just think that's
format.
Really brilliant to be able to think out of the box of a traditional press release where you have the title and the main body and your blurb about the company and contact details mm-hmm. and for immediate release, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just very boilerplate.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a social media press release goes a step beyond. It thinks about how the blogger who's going to consume the press release is maybe going to use it. They might want to have sound bites to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're doing a podcast, if they could have the ability to pull some audio content, for example, and you have that audio content readily available with the URL for them to grab it and not have to like do any hard work to get
mm-hmm.
it. You know, these sorts of elements are great. It just makes it so much easier for me as a blogger and a podcaster to just pull that content in and turn it into something much more useful than just a boilerplate regurgitated.
So for a social media press release, I almost think that in a way it's it's slightly mislabeled in that a lot of what I see is that it's a multimedia press release, that it has audio clips, video clips, good images attached to the release itself. So to me, that's where it seems like it's going. And that's what I focus on when I do a press release, as well as keyword density, which is the SEO part of it.
Exactly.
Those are good combinations. All right. So I'm conscious of our time. I want to talk about this social media power user hacks. And you have a really good blog post on your blog, which is stephanspencer.com. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend that our listeners go there and read the whole darn thing. But I want you to tell us about the LinkedIn power user hacks. Let's start with that one before we go to a commercial.
Okay. So first of all, what I mean by hack is not trying to game the system. It's not trying to break in. You know,
no black hat stuff.
Right. You're not being a hacker here. You're just actually trying to save time and be more effective and more efficient. So on LinkedIn, for example, you could imagine that your network is the larger it gets, the better your reach is going to be, as long as it's a good network. You're not just
accepting everybody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's useful to have one or two what are called lions, LinkedIn open networkers on your network. And the reason why is because one of these lions could bring in, they could have 5,000-10,000 contacts on their network. And that significantly increases your reach if you're sending out, let's say, a job notice or doing the LinkedIn questions and answers. And
So let me ask you how that works. All right, let's just say I'm linked with a lion. How big do you have to be a lion, by the way? What's lion size?
Oh, boy. I think maybe it's 5,000 and up. I don't remember the number.
Does LinkedIn reward you for that when you get to a certain level? They make you a lion? Or do you...
No. No, there are lists out there of top most LinkedIn folks who, and that's actually how I found my lion that I added. Mm-hmm. Guy's name is Flip Filipowski.
Mm-hmm.
He's a VC. Mm-hmm. He has tons of contacts, and he's one of the most LinkedIn individuals on LinkedIn.
Got it.
He has, I think, over 50,000.
So then, how does it work? So I use LinkedIn Answers a lot for Dishy Mix. And so a lot of listeners probably have seen when I'll post, I'll say something, you know, if I have enough time coming up, I'll say something like, I have Stephan Spencer coming on. He knows everything about how to make your blog more visible in the SEO world. Send me questions in advance of the show. And if I can use it, I'll mention you on the show. Mm-hmm. And I usually get between 6 and 20 responses to that. I have about 2,500 people connected to me on LinkedIn now. When I post that, who sees it? How does that part work? That's the part I don't understand. Because you get this choice of actually picking people that you send it to. So you could either just post it or you could post it and then pick people. I'm trying not to pop my peas here. Pick people. Why am I saying that? I'm a pea popper. Then I try to pick people that would be likely to want to ask me a question. How does that manifest in the LinkedIn ether?
Yeah, so... what you need to think about is kind of like concentric circles. So when you have your network of, let's say, 50 people or 200 people or 2,000 people, that's one connection away, right? So they're the first degree.
Yeah, your first degree.
Then there's the next concentric circle, and that's second degree. Mm-hmm. And that's a much larger circle.
Right.
Many, many more people in
that.
So
do people see that when I post my answer, which is really an ask?
That I don't know. Okay. It totally depends on what you're actually doing. If you're doing LinkedIn Answers or you're sending out, you're paying for a job notice, let's say you have a job opening at your company, that goes out farther than just your first set of connections. So it's past the first concentric circle. I don't know if it's second degree or third degree.
Okay.
But each service, whether that's paid or free with LinkedIn, reaches differently. So. Okay. Don't remember which ones are which.
So one of the things that you also said was to put your email address in your name. I've seen a lot of people do that, and I was always worried that I would attract too many people if I did that. But you think it might be a good idea if you're trying to build up your network to make it really easy for people to send you an email.
That's right. Because if I, as a just an industry person, don't happen to know your email address, and I don't have the time to dig for it on your blog or your website, I want to very quickly be able to add people. And if I don't already have you in my address book, just have that could make the difference between me reaching out and connecting with you or not, is having that email address right there for me to add you.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's up to you to decide whether you want that person or not.
Right.
So you can easily say, no, I'm not going to, I'm just going to archive that. So
one of the things that I've noticed is that Facebook is so much better for adding people and confirming or ignoring people than LinkedIn. LinkedIn is slow comparatively for me, you know, clicking and going to the site loads more slowly. And then you have to, once you say yes, then you have to go to their record and you have to go to their little address thing and you have to download that, and that takes time, and then you have to add the V card into your address book. It's kind of a pain in the butt, but Facebook doesn't let you even add them into your address book. You can't even copy and paste it into your address book. So it's quick to add, but slow to add in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's definitely not perfect.
Yeah. Well, each social service offers different features, right?
Yeah.
So LinkedIn, one thing that is great about that is you can actually choose when you put in your URL of your blog and of your website, you can actually change the anchor text, the underlying words. It doesn't have to say my blog.
Mm.
It can actually say the name of your blog, especially if there's good keywords in there.
Oh.
So you just choose other when you're filling out your profile or updating your profile. So there's my website, my blog, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other box. And when you choose that, that gives you a little box to type in exactly what you want to name the site that you're linking to.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to go update my profile today.
Yep.
So we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, after we thank my sponsors, who I really appreciate for letting me have fun with you on a weekly basis, we're going to talk, I want to get to Twitter and some power user hacks for Twitter. And then I want to get right into the top SEO mistakes we make with blogs and how we can make our blogs soar in the search engine. So stay tuned. We're with Stefan Spencer, the founder and president of Net Concepts, talking tech stuff, which is fun, fun, fun. And we'll be back in a minute. I'm your host, Susan Bratton.
Listen to Money, Mission, and Meaning. Passion at work, purpose at play. A weekly audio program bringing you success in the business of life on personallifemedia.com.
All right, we're back. Thank you so much for listening to my sponsors. I'm your host, Susan Bratton, and we're with Stefan Spencer, who is the president of Net Concepts, and we're live in studio. So when we left for the break, Stefan, I was going to ask you about Twitter, but I actually think Twitter's simplistic enough to use that people could get pretty started, stumble upon that I'm stumbling upon. I don't understand how it works, how I can work it. Explain.
Okay, so first of all, you need to think like a user, and just basically, if you're sitting kind of vegging out and you're not really in a very productive mood, you can go channel surfing. So with the StumbleUpon toolbar installed, you just start channel surfing and you've specified what your interests are. And so you get pretty good recommendations there based on popularity, you know, how many thumbs up and ratings that various items got in the categories that you're interested in.
So it's a website discovery tool.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
It's a recommendation, a user-powered recommendation engine.
Yes. And what you find as a website owner, when you get stumbled and you get your good ratings and everything, you're going to get much more sustainable traffic than if you were to, let's say, reach the front page of Dig.com.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
on Dig, they just have a very short attention span collectively,
mm-hmm.
you know, these alpha geeks that use Dig. And the Dig storm will come and it will disappear just as quickly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just big spike in traffic, and 24 hours or 48 hours later, there's like back to normal.
We're done with you,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so with StumbleUpon, you'll get more of a sustained traffic audience coming in from the StumbleUpon toolbar.
So how do I make my site stumbly? How do I promote my site to rise it in the ranks of StumbleUpon?
Right. So just like any other social network or social media site,
mm-hmm.
you need to build up your reputation. And it's really important to have good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have friends, you can do things like, for example, send them items to Stumble in the toolbar. So you
mm-hmm.
can, and actually the way that the toolbar works, at least the last time I checked it, you actually can force the item to be viewed by your friend, which can be really annoying if you're doing this to people that you don't have a strong relationship with. So
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be spamming through StumbleUpon. But if you have really good friends and you say, hey, check this out, I just posted this top 10 list to my blog,
mm-hmm.
you know, do you mind stumbling it? as long as you're doing that within reason and not you have a good relationship and you're not doing it all the time to somebody, that can actually be very powerful, because then they'll start the ball rolling, and people on any social graph, whether it's Facebook or StumbleUpon or Dig or whatever, by having powerful friends who give you a thumbs up for a piece of content, mm-hmm. that trickles down very quickly. And so, like on Dig, if you don't have a power user submitting a piece of content, that can make all the difference in the world. Like, I know a power user who's in the top 10 of all diggers, mm-hmm. and pretty much anything he touches is gold.
Wow.
Right? So, at least 80% of the things that he submits reach the front page.
Could we get his email address right now?
No.
I had to ask. You know, I had to ask. All right, I want to move on because I'm conscious of time here. We're always have so much we want to cover. Top SEO mistakes. What are the things that we can do to make our blog more visible in search engine results?
Yes. So I'm going to break it down into three major areas.
Okay.
Inbound links, mm-hmm. and then internal links within your blog.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, the content on the page.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when I say on the page, I don't just mean your permalink page, the post itself. Mm-hmm. I mean on other pages of your blog as well, like your category pages, your tag pages, your date-based archives. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the inbound links. So when people link to you with really suboptimal, from an SEO standpoint, anchor text, you know, mm-hmm. the underlined words say things like check this out, or the name of the blog or the URL. If the name of the blog doesn't have any good keywords in it, that's not really nearly as helpful as if they actually named that piece of content and then linked directly to that permalink page with those good keywords in the underlined text. So if you can go back to the bloggers that you have strong relationships with who have already linked to you, you look at the anchor text that they've already used, and there are tools out there that can actually show you what the anchor text is in these inbound links. And there's a tool called Backlink Analyzer, and it's available from tools.seobook.com. I don't make any money by suggesting this.
Oh, so no, that's great.
It's a free tool.
We give these links all the time.
And
Backlink what?
Backlink Analyzer.
Okay.
Or BLA for short.
Okay.
And what it does is you just tell it the URL of your own blog, and it will collect a whole bunch of inbound link URLs, and then go to each URL individually and look for the anchor text and the link pointing to you.
Okay.
So you can look at that and say, oh, this one used click here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to rank number one for click here.
You won't.
So you basically just mine your own backlinks.
Okay.
And then now let's move on to internal links. Now, this is a really important area. Most bloggers don't have an optimal internal linking structure. They're overly reliant on the date-based archives, and unless you really want to rank for January 2008, mm-hmm. I would actually cause those pages to not end up in the index, and instead send the spiders towards your or through your tag-based taxonomy instead.
Because, how do we do that?
Well, you can use what are called nofollows, and if you just the link to your date-based archives or your various months and years, if you have that in the sidebar, you just add rel equals nofollow to all those links. So if you go into the HTML and you say ahref equals whatever, mm-hmm. you just say a rel equals nofollow, ahref equals whatever. So it's that simple, and you just change those links to be nofollowed, and then it's as if the links didn't exist from the search engine standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So you're instead sending the spiders through the other links in greater force, basically.
And by other links, you mean the things that we're categorizing our blog
right.
posts
exactly.
for.
So the categories that are listed in your sidebar,
yeah.
well, those links will be counted as more important than if you just had 500 links on your homepage, and here are 10 of those 500. So mm-hmm. as you reduce the number of other links through the rel equals nofollow,
okay.
you're actually sending more link juice through to those remaining links.
Okay.
So you send them through the category-based archives. You send them through the tag-based archives. So a tag cloud, I am just a huge fan of having tag clouds on your blog.
Oh.
And WordPress has tagging by default now. As of 2.3, I think. So it's a fantastic feature that everyone should take advantage of. Then when a spider sees a tag cloud and they they visit one of the pages that are linked, it's actually a tag page, which are the latest 10 posts or whatever, posts that have been tagged with that keyword.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do from there is make what's called a sticky post, which kind of helps set the keyword theme for that tag page. So you want to have that tag page that's about, let's say, I don't know, Apple News,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's that's the tag, Apple News. And you tag, let's say, 50 posts with Apple News. And so those 50 posts will be the first 10 or the last 10 that appear as your tag page for Apple News. You want to make sure that that page sings to the search engines for Apple News.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? You make sure that it's in the title tag, right up in the blue bar above the back and forward buttons. You want to make sure it starts with Apple News, not blah, 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 welcome to my website. Oh, by the way, this page is about Apple News.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that it's in the H1 tag, you know, heading one tag, which is just kind of like the headline of the page. So that helps set the keyword theme as well. And then if you have an intro paragraph that says, hey, I cover everything about Apple, all the Apple News that you care to eat, you know, and so everything from Steve Jobs to the iPhone, blah, blah, blah. And so that kind of intro paragraph could be made to appear every time on the page through by making it a sticky post. It's a regular post, but you've made it sticky using a plugin like Adhesive or WP Sticky if you're on WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
And then no matter how old that post gets, it's always at the top. It's the very first post.
Huh. Okay. And you wrote about sticky posts. You wrote about all of this in your blog post. So a lot of this that you're telling us on the show is already on your blog post.
Yes.
Okay. That's perfect. And that's stephanspencer.com. StephanSpencer.com.
Yep.
Perfect. What is the other piece, the content piece? You talked about inbound links. This was the sticky and the the no follows. That's a little confusing, all that stuff, by the way. Like, I wish you could just come fix my blog. but the content piece, what's that?
Well, actually, I kind of already led into that when I was talking about making a tag page sing to the search engines.
Yeah.
Every page of your site should sing to the search engines. And so having a really good title, title tag, having a really good headline, H1 tag, and having the beginning of the post talk about that keyword rather than at the very end of the post or whatever the page is.
It
doesn't have to be a permalink post page. It can actually be a tag page or a category page or your home page. Every page of your site is an opportunity to rank in the search engine. So you want to make each page sing to the search engines for whatever unique keyword theme you're going after.
Okay.
So you don't want to try and go after everything with one particular page, right? So if you have 50 keywords that you really care about, you want to pick your battles and say, all right, with my home page, I want to go after these couple or three or four major keywords.
Mm-hmm.
And with one of my top 10 most popular posts of all time, and it's on, I don't know, Apple News or whatever, on a particular piece of Apple News, I want to make that page sing for Apple News. Or, you know, you just basically pick your battles, make each page sing for whatever the song is that the page is about. And so one of the most important elements for any page of your site is the title tag. It is given the most weight out of any bit of text on the page.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to put your best effort into the title tag.
And when you're talking about a blog, are you talking about what we name that blog post as a title tag or not?
Well, usually that's what most people figure, because by default, the post title is displayed on the permalink page's title tag as part of the title.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is you might want to come up with some short, pithy, really engaging sort of post title, and it doesn't have all the right keywords in it.
Right.
Maybe you're missing an important synonym, or the verb tense would be better as a different verb tense, because it's much more popular as a different verb tense, or the singular versus plurals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to really work in those right synonyms and have the right verb tenses and the right word order, and you really want to make that count in the title tag, or make that best effort in the title tag. And so you might end up with a 12-word title tag that has a couple synonyms, and it's not like the most optimal, pithy, short and sweet sort of post title.
Right.
So now what you want to do is you actually want to decouple the two. You don't want to have the post title automatically become your title tag.
Okay.
And for WordPress, there's a plugin that I wrote and my developers at NetConcepts maintain. It's called SEO Title Tag.
Okay.
And what it does is it not only allows you to have a custom title tag. So there's now a field on when you write a post.
Yeah.
There's a field that says title tag.
Yeah.
So you can just work in a synonym. Like if you could imagine if you were an e-commerce site, a lot of these e-commerce sites, they'll say things that just nobody searches for, like kitchen electrics. Who searches for that? Or pant. Who searches for a pant? I want pants.
It's a retail thing.
Yeah. So same thing happens in the blogosphere. You're not using the most popular keyword.
Yeah.
Or the plural is much more popular than the singular. So you can just change things around, have a unique title tag that's not the exact same as your post title. So you use SEO title tag to accomplish this, and it goes a step beyond that, and because you probably have maybe hundreds or potentially thousands of old posts, and it's going to be quite daunting to go back and go to edit each single post individually.
Mm-hmm.
So the plugin provides a mass edit admin. So you go into log into your admin.
So if you're upgrading an old blog.
You install the plugin and you think, okay, I want to SEO all my old posts.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have really good keywords in my titles of those posts.
Yeah.
So you go to the mass edit, you go to manage, and in WordPress, once the plugin's installed, you go to the manage tab,
mm-hmm.
and then title tags.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can see a whole bunch of post titles, one after another, all
mm-hmm.
in one page,
mm-hmm.
with a field next to each one. So you can just bang through a whole bunch of titles and write custom titles to hundreds of posts at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Just hit the button, the submit button, and then all those posts get updated with a new title tag.
And then do you think that will help increase your search engine rankings?
Big time.
So that one thing is
that
worth
one,
spending the time on.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How do you... we're out of time. What I really wanted to know was, how do you actually install a WordPress plugin? That's really remedial, and I know you're laughing at me right now. You've got a little snicker.
Oh, wow.
Well. Can you give us just that one last little zinger and help us figure it out in case we don't know?
You know,
is it super hard?
It can be, actually. It depends on your web host, and there's just so many different web hosts out there. If you have the latest version of WordPress, there's a...
If you don't, you have to upgrade to that first.
I would suggest it, yeah.
I
would suggest it. And some web hosts actually auto-update for you.
I like that.
Yeah, that is very cool.
It's probably not any of us.
Yeah, and now there's a feature in the latest versions of WordPress. I forget when they started this. It's like an instant upgrade sort of capability with plugins. You just... From the plugin screen, you can just click a button to it tells you this plugin is out of date or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new version out. Do you want to upgrade?
Mm-hmm.
Click the button, and it's like a very simple process. So
definitely,
it's been made a lot easier now.
Okay, still hard for us. Us people who like to blog but don't know much about technology.
It's a lot easier now.
Where's a good place to find someone that can help you pimp out your blog and do all this stuff?
Oh, that's a good question. Rather than give a list of different vendors,
mm-hmm.
I would suggest you go to businessblogconsulting.com.
Ooh.
And that's a group blog. I'm actually one of the bloggers on that blog. And just, I think what we'll do is in the next short while, we'll probably post something about it's been a long time since we post a post on there about how to find a vendor and what to look for and where to look.
Great. So you'll put that up for me and I'll link to it from the Dishy Mix blog so that everyone who's listening is like, oh, I want to do all this, but I have no idea how to do it. Can find someone to help them.
I will do that.
That's what we need. We need a genius like you helping us. That's perfect. Well, Stefan, thank you so much for covering so much ground with us today. I'm going to make sure we link to all the detail in the blog posts that you have created, especially to Business Blog Consulting. So what we can do is we can find our business blog consultant and we can send them to your blog post and say, those things, those top 10 mistakes we're making, which we're probably making all of, could you please fix those for us? And then, perfect. So you've opened up the world of the possibility for us today, and now we just have to make it happen.
That's right.
So thanks so much for coming to visit, and thanks for doing a live studio show. It was really fun. I appreciate your being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Good. I liked it too. Thank you. All right. Well, Dishy Mix listeners, I hope we provided, I know we probably spun your brain out. Thank you for letting us do that. And like I said, all the links and all the deets will be at dishymix.com. I'll make sure that all you have to do is just search for Stefan Spencer, or even Stefan. He's my only Stefan so far. So we'll make sure you can find all the goodness there and get some help if you want to take your blog to the next level. And this is your host, Susan Bratton. Have a great day, and I will talk to you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.